Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9TheGame.com. It is Sam and Greg. Y'all can take us with you on the Odyssey app. We are here on a Sunday morning, the 15th day of December. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to all you first responders and teachers out in Irondale.
Okay.
Irondale. Good morning to you.
Good
10 days left, folks.
Yeah.
10 days left. And obviously you were not listening to Mr. Crenshaw these past few years. He has said it throughout the course of the year when the holidays approach. Pack your patience.
Hey, now.
Let me tell you right now, I've been out in these streets this last week. People are not listening to you. Oh,
you either do like I do. Get out early and get in, man, because you wait till everybody else wakes up, and that's when the problem happens.
Like
you need to get out early, right?
Qualifying for Daytona out there on the streets.
Anyway. And that's nothing. Wait until Friday. Wait until the end of this week.
Oh, yeah.
Because
right.
the holiday being in the middle of the next week, it's going to be the mad scramble. Mad scramble for the airport, mad scramble for the interstate. I mean, next Friday is, you just want to settle in somewhere and watch the first college football playoff game.
Sure. You just poked my bottom lip out. I didn't think about it like that.
I'm just saying, you just want to get somewhere nice and safe and comfortable and sit there and just enjoy.
That's true. It is going to be wonderful watching all those. And the thing is, will we understand what we're watching? We're watching these playoff games, and these teams have home games instead of these neutral sites.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's going to be different, but that's what you play for. You play to try to get that. You want to play at home. And the basic things. You want to make some more money. You want to fill up your stadium. You want to rip tickets. You want to park cars. You want to sell Coke.
You make some different uniforms, or do you have superstitions?
Oh,
see, me, I would have superstitions. I wouldn't change.
I wouldn't go change anything.
But somebody's going to do that.
Well, the manufacturers are going to approach them.
There you go.
The manufacturers are going to approach them. Under Armour, Nike, Adidas, they're going to have a patch on
on the uniform. Probably they'll sell those afterwards with the patch from whatever game.
Oh, yeah.
Playoff
is. I mean, that's almost a given. But I'm curious to see. I'm curious to see because one of the things they're leaning on and promoting are traditions.
Exactly.
Which are vanishing rapidly in college football, as we celebrated Army-Navy yesterday. But traditions is what are being promoted here. So let's see if they can adhere to the traditions even through those uniforms that we've seen those teams wear down through. I tell you one, it won't change. That's Penn State.
Well, that's
Penn State ain't changing nothing. Y'all can do that.
You know. Well, you know what? That would be the thing, though, because they never have changed for them. Yep. It's like putting lights in Wrigley.
Yeah.
You know, you never expect it to happen. So when it does, you understand. Listen, you can't stand pat on tradition forever. You'd be that one dude I've used this analogy a bunch of times. You'd be standing there on the dock as the ship goes forward.
Yep.
And you can cuss and spit and turn around all you want. You'll still be left there behind.
Yeah.
So you have to think about what others are doing. We were talking about, and we're going to talk college football coming up later on in the show, and we will get to that big hire by them folks on Tobacco Road.
Okay.
But whoever is doing whatever they're doing in the ACC knows that one powerhouse down there in South Carolina not dealing with the transfer portal.
Right.
That's got to help everybody.
Yep. Well, you know
how long will that stand? How long will he stand pat on that?
Well, I mean, he's in the playoff. He's managed to get that far. He didn't have the greatest season.
He tripped into the playoff.
Right? You know what I mean? He got there, and we'll see what he does once he gets there against those teams who do have those players and who have made the investment. Yeah. Because that's basically what it is. What is your school? What is your program willing to invest to get to this point?
May you live in interesting times.
Always.
We're gonna get into that. Sam and Greg getting started on this Sunday morning. So a quick rundown of what we got here. And believe it or not, in the short amount of time that we have, you know, because obviously getting ready for a full day of football action, even though them Falcons don't kick off till tomorrow night in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
we got games for you throughout the day today. But we're going to be talking, obviously, what's going on in Vegas.
Yep.
And the Hawks, and listen, God bless them, tip a cap to them and all that. We'll talk about them, talk about college football from yesterday and what is around the corners. You talked about getting yourself comfortable next week and watching all these games. Rick Lempert will be joining us.
Got some last-minute ideas. And he's in Vegas, too. So
is he? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Right, so he's had an idea of seeing the Hawks come to town. I think a rodeo has been out there all week.
Have you ever been to a rodeo? Don't sleep on a rodeo.
Really?
I've been to one. And it was kind of a beginner's rodeo. It wasn't like a real big one. But I was captivated. It's like what people say about hockey. You could hate hockey. You got no feeling about hockey at all. Go to a hockey game.
Go and see it in person.
Man, once you do that once.
About that. And NASCAR is the same. You know,
that
if you watch it on TV, it's deceptive. The speed of the cars and everything that goes on with it. So
that
yeah.
noise when you first hear NASCAR.
And you're standing there and you feel the ground shake when those cars take to start the race. It's if you like cars or any of that type of thing, it sucks you in. But you got
to
be there.
Yeah, you do. You have to be. So that's another one. Can I tell you a story about the ground moving?
Uh-oh.
First time I ever felt the ground. You ever felt the ground move? I'm not talking about like that. But have you ever been someplace? No, I'm not talking about an earthquake.
Okay.
Something caused.
I know that happened. I never go to California again. I like going to visit California, but every time I've been there, the ground had moved.
Really? Oh, it hasn't?
Has not moved.
If I'm ever there
and that happens, man, they never have to worry about seeing me again.
I've been there for one mild one, but I've not been there for a big one. But this was one, and people who have been in different arenas and been around animals, especially these kind of animals, they used to keep. Remember, I told you I used to work on a cruise ship.
Right.
Right. So we were in Nassau more than we were anywhere else. And before Atlantis and what they have there, the casino was on Paradise Island. They had a casino show, and they had animals in the casino show. They had a couple those big horses. I don't want to say like Clydesdales, but they had huge horses, bigger than the normal ones.
Okay.
They had tigers. They had some other animals, and one of the animals they had was a lion. They kept them in a little farm off the golf course on Paradise Island. I think about Paradise Island. Ain't that big.
Right.
Right? So on the one side was where they kept these animals, and they would bring them to the casino every night. But if you played golf, you didn't know this was there. You weren't going to run into them, but if you hit your ball over here, which I did, it's like the fifth hole. It was a dog leg. And when you go there, you're not in any danger, but you see the cages if you hit your ball in a certain area. Anyway, this lion woke up from a nap while I was walking. There were like three of us walking over this area. And like I said, wasn't going to charge or nothing like that. He just woke up and he roared, like stretching.
Yeah.
The ground moved.
Yeah.
I have never experienced. If I live to be 150, I'll never forget that. Which is the reason why I understand when they call them the king of beasts. Because just that roar is enough to get your attention.
They can do that.
That just stays with me, Sam.
Really?
They just woke up and just, you know, stretch. But when he yawned, we were at least 30, 40 feet away. He's in a big cage, but we were on the same ground as him. And that ground reverberated.
Wow.
I just want to tell you that story. Sam and Greg, anyway, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 92.9 The Game. All right, after Rick Limpert coming up, got a fresh cast to call money going through there. Something big happened in this city a bunch of years ago having to do with the film industry. We're going to talk about that. And Terrell Thomas will be joining us, and Joe Patrick getting us, I don't know about getting us set, but he's going to talk about the Falcons
about
with
the
us
Falcons. Yeah,
for tomorrow night.
And what has happened with this team. I got to give a shout-out to our Heisman Trophy winner. Now I've covered two in high school. That I can say I've covered
Cam and Travis.
That I've covered two Heisman Trophy winners during their high school years. So it was tremendous to see that. And I reminded people in my social media while Jackson State was here, and shout out to the people with Celebration Bowl. Good show
yesterday.
Jackson State was a winner. Got a question though, and we'll get into that a little later on. But of course Travis Hunter played at Jackson State before going on to Colorado, and all the awards he picked up this week. He is the, he's the first player to have attended an HBCU and win any of these honors, and so he makes history in that way. He's the first player to have attended an HBCU and win the Heisman Trophy, or win the Beknarik Trophy, or win the Biletnikoff, because no players from HBCUs have ever won that. So, to me, he's a first in that regard too. So I hope it's a double celebration for Jackson State having won here yesterday, and that he started playing college there.
And it went full circle too, because the first, at least on TV, the first Hall of Famer that came up and really embraced him was Cam.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
you
yeah.
had the shot oh, yeah. of the two of them.
Yeah.
Now, I've also seen that video where Cam showed up at Colorado practice, and he was kind of kept over here by
Shadur.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know what that dynamic
was. Well,
this
whole thing is like, who was broadcasting the telecast? And who is Cam spending time with these days? So, I mean, he had to be there. So, I mean, that got a little bit to do with it, too, I'm sure. That he now works for ESPN. ESPN was doing a broadcast last night. Yeah.
You know what I like? And I hope they continue to do this. I realize it's somewhat annoying. But much like we have to endure every year when the last undefeated team happens in the NFL and they show a picture of the remaining Miami Dolphins and they toast them, their undefeated season continues.
Mm-hmm.
It's much like they should show Archie Griffin. Every year when they have a new Heisman Trophy winner, because Tim Tebow was the last one to threaten that.
Yeah.
They have two. Archie Griffin's the only two-time winner of the Heisman. So every time they have a guy who's not going to be back-to-back, they should give a little something to Archie.
Yeah. I mean, because we end up having a freshman getting it. Jackson was I think it was just –
Bo? Was he a freshman?
No, Lamar.
Oh, Lamar. That's right. No, he was – I thought he was a sophomore.
He may have been a freshman or sophomore, but usually this goes to an upperclassman.
Right.
And the same thing with Johnny Football. Johnny Football was not a senior.
It was nice to see him last night.
Yeah.
Very humbled.
Yeah,
sitting there.
You know what I mean?
He has been to the well and back, but it was. I ain't got no problem with Johnny Football. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We've had so much excitement being back. We don't see each other all week long. We haven't had a chance to do our story of the week. We're going to have to save that. Coming back, because we're up against it, and I'm not about to try to get yelled at by Noel off the rip.
No, we're not going
to
do that.
We got to get back with that. So again, we're going to get you set. John Fricke's going to come on here. And by the way, in case you can't get in front of a TV, we got NFL action for you. Cowboys of Carolina. You care anything about that game?
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious to see what Carolina does. Because we still got to play them. So I'm curious to see if. And especially if Mr. Young continues to improve.
Progress,
He
can get well on the Cowboys.
Well, we'll see if he does that.
It's a home game.
Yeah.
So we'll have that for you here. Pregame at 12:30, kick at 1, followed by Tampa Bay and the Chargers. And then tonight, we got Green Bay at Seattle. That is not the game that people want to see in my house. And actually me either, to be honest with you. I want to see the Lions and Bills. That's going to be the game, right? Those are the two powers.
Yep.
Those are the two conference powers.
Absolutely.
Now, are we going to see that late game? I don't know. I got to go behind the TV and start monkeying around with stuff.
Oh my.
Let them think I live in, West Bloomfield or something. and, of course, we will have Falcons at Vegas tomorrow night. So just keep that in mind. Anyway, moving forward, we're going to talk about these Hawks. And, listen, they gave us unexpected pleasures. Did you expect them to make it out to Vegas?
No, and they do that, and they did it, and they put on a great show.
Yes, they did.
So
yes, they did.
Let's dive into them. What a week for them. And also, New York City, shout out. Trey is still your daddy.
Oh, that was beautiful. Especially the bump afterwards. It's Sam and Greg getting started on this Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this 15th day of December. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. You know, there's just one of these things that when you go out, I gotta see Sam right now. When you go out, as we get ready to talk about the Hawks and going to Vegas, you know, it is everywhere. How does this happen? Where, I mean, the dude has been dead since 77. He had 7 years of an impact in that city, but yet so identified with it.
Yeah.
You can't turn a corner in that place without seeing something having to do with Elvis. Anyway, that was the intro, and you know, there are times where you want to hit the DeLorean and go back and be a part of something, maybe for a day or two, spend a weekend here, spend a night there. But, you know, a night when Elvis would come out in Las Vegas.
Yep.
Just to be there, man, just to see that. If not there, that Hawaii show he did in like 73 in the jumpsuit and all that. Anyway, Sam and Greg Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Play that because the Hawks. Our Atlanta Hawks went out there and put on a – I really did think the comeback was inevitable.
Yeah.
And they were going to come back and get that game.
Because we've seen them do it.
Yeah, a number of times. And it's almost as if these guys are playing in a way I can't describe. We assumed we knew what this team was going to look like. We've talked about them throughout this season. But there's just something extra right now, at least for me.
Yeah.
As I watch this team, I don't know if it's the youth. I don't know if it's just a bounce in the way they're playing. The chemistry we've talked about a number of times, and we'll get more into this with Terrell when he shows up. But how do you describe what
this team is right now, man? This week.
This is overall
a great week to have gone to New York and to do what happened up there, right? You know, so that's the thing you wanted to see from this team. To earn the right to go to Las Vegas is still a big deal for this Hawks team. The expectations, we didn't know what the expectations would be when the season began. But to see it come together and to see what this team can do when they wrap up things defensively has been the thing that's been most satisfying, because that's been a problem. You know, this team has been defense. And so you got some players in place. You got some people who know what it means to do great things defensively. Rebounding has been good. And so you come up short yesterday against a team that's playing more like the team
we thought
that
they were going to be.
Well, the team that we saw win it all several years ago. You know what troubled me with that game yesterday? You know, because there's one guy on that team, well, a couple of guys on that team who are like kryptonite for the Hawks. One is Bobby Portis Jr., but the other is Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton was poison back when we had that playoff series against them. And I said, if this dude gets off the bus, man, there could be problems. Now, he didn't do a lot, but
I was going to say, scoring, he really wasn't, yeah.
But he admit, you know what? He had 5 personal fouls. He was just out there just being a fly in the ointment. He was, you know, he was that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he's the kind of player that does that. When he's healthy and on, they're that team again. He's that player that nobody – and he's been beset by injuries the last couple of seasons. And if they get that guy healthy again consistently – the Bucks are a team that could really possibly challenge Boston, going down the stretch once people really tune in. Yesterday may have been the first time a lot of people watched NBA. You know what I mean? And we know that Christmas Day is that.
Right.
But the only football there was yesterday was like Celebration Bowl, another
Army
bowl
Navy.
Game at Army Navy, and then you had this NBA. And I think a lot of people, you know, tune in and maybe check this out to see this team and see how Atlanta would do against them. So, you know, I'm pleased, even though they lost, they don't get to go to the championship and play for the $500,000 apiece. That winner will get Tuesday night. It's going to be OKC against Milwaukee, but I'm all right with what the Hawks have done.
110 to 102, Hawks lose it to the Bucks. And, again, but this past week, as you described, going up to New York, doing what they do, and by the way, you got to love the ending of that New York game.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just the way they ended, but did you see the footage of Trey walking off?
Yeah.
Some TikToks put that to music, and then his teammates having it, when you think you're walking alone. Yeah. And he walked back at that shoulder bump, and then you saw the camera fade on him and then what was going on behind him, and teammates just having his back. It was beautiful. I want to bring we want to bring in Noel.
Oh, yeah.
Let's wait for it.
Hi, good morning.
Hey!
Morning, Noel. And how was your week before we get into you going down this rabbit hole with the Hawks? How was your week? holidays, you know, you ready for all that? You're dealing with this stuff?
The week was good. The week was full of Hawks for me. You know, I soak up all positive Hawks coverage we can get. And, you know, on a nice little win streak and knocking out some of the top teams in the East, you know, it's been a lot of conversation around the Hawks. And you guys really hit all the nails on the head yesterday. Even though they took the loss, they took that game all the way to the wire. Chris Middleton really was the difference between this game and the game that they won earlier in the season. Chris Middleton didn't play in that game. Also, this game was like one of the least contributions you got from Hunter off the bench and really from everyone around Trey. It kind of showed why a game like that was important for this young Hawks team because it adds to their experience. Mm-hmm. It kind of – Trey was able to put his experience on display and show, when you need me to get 35 a night and flirt with a triple-double, I can do that and have no worries about that. But we haven't needed that. When we needed it to kind of really compete for that game last night, it was there. You're still waiting on, you know, Paris Bogey to get a little more consistent. You know, like I said, last night was the most inconsistent Hunter was off the bench.
But isn't that
15 off the bench is great numbers.
Isn't that frustrating to somebody like you and you too, Sam, because of what you saw against New York? We don't want to get to a situation where if there's struggle going on in the defensive end of the ball, okay, well, we still got Trey. This ain't the Buffalo Bills where you got, Josh Allen's going to save us all the time. You don't want to rely
on
Trey.
It's not all the time. That's what I'm saying. It's not a 60 night a year situation.
I understand
now.
It, but it happens.
Like, this is like one of the first times we've seen this season where he really had to go out and get 35. And that just shows the youth you have on this team. You know, the lights were really bright yesterday, mm-hmm. and that was the least contribution you have from everybody not named Trey. So that shows why a game like this is important for a team like that.
I just, and I'm, you know, again, it was interesting. It was an interesting week because of how, last week what we were talking about, we started off talking about how these dudes handed it to the Lakers, right? And then right around the corner, you had Denver coming, right? So then Denver comes in and does just the opposite of what happened with the Lakers. Now you got to think about, okay, well, this tournament's going on. The Hawks just lose to Denver the way they did. And then we got to go to New York and beat them. And yet, boom! You go to New York and you beat them, and next thing you know, you're going to Vegas. There was such an ebb and flow to the way this team played this past week plus that you weren't sure of what you were getting. But as Noel said, bright lights, stumbling a little bit. Have that happen in mid-December. Don't have it happen in April and May.
And that's what I'm saying. And not just mid-December, but mid-December in a high-stakes game.
Right.
So this isn't
playoff
just
atmosphere.
Regular. You know what I mean? This isn't just regular mid-December. But honestly, Greg, I wanted them to drop that game against the Nuggets. They were riding high on a win streak. And I'm like, if we're going to lose a game, it needs to be right here against the Nuggets so you can take all that energy up there to New York and do what you need to go do.
Yeah.
So that went the way I wanted it to go. If you were going to lose a game, and I'm like, you're riding high, the odds of them just knocking everybody out on the way to the tournament to me were low. So if we're gonna lose a game, you need to lose this game against the Knicks. It doesn't against the Nuggets. It doesn't really mean anything conference wise or cup wise. And then go to New York and handle your New York business. And we got to shake them up, shake them up, shake them up, shake them.
Yep.
So even though we weren't able to knock out the Milwaukee Bucks, like just being able to have that moment for this young team and for everybody to contribute to that moment, for it not to be a trade orchestrated performance, for everybody to contribute to that, to make that happen, I think that was a big moment and a right step in this Quinn Snyder era.
Yep. And now you got some time to everybody to get refreshed, you know, come back and get everybody, you know, healthy, and then you got to go out and play in San Antonio on Thursday night. You know, two players sat out against the Nuggets. I think Bogey and I think Daniels, I think both, mm-hmm. I think they sat out that game. So you didn't have your full complement of players, and that was done. Like you said, that was done. Yep, that was done with the eye on New York City, and they went up there and they got it done.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You know the worst part about that whole diatribe that Noelle just went through.
Was that
when she was giving her little example at the end there? My old head, she had Taylor Swift pop in my head.
Oh no!
And this is how old I am.
Uh-oh.
I even got the song name wrong because she said "Shake It," and that wasn't her title, right?
She was Shake It Off. I was doing more Ice Cube.
Okay, well, the thing is that popped into my head, and I felt horrible. I felt actually horrible about the fact that she put Taylor Swift in my head. I got to sit back.
Look, also, shout out to Dyson Daniels, because he put Jalen Brunson in jail the other night up there in New York.
Sure did.
How did he shut him down?
It's the length, and he has amazing anticipation. Like I said, I've been just immersed in Hawks basketball and analysis right now, and I'm watching him on defense, and even when you think he's out of the play, he's just coming up from behind and boop. Like, you're so worried about guarding it from everybody that's in front of you and trying to box out, and he's just boop, poking it out from behind you and sprinting down the court, and everybody's so long. And this is a team where, and these trail-led teams know this, get down on the other end of the floor. I can Josh Allen that thing down to the other end of the floor if somebody's down there. Just get down there. And you're seeing a lot of teams where, like, they'll get a big dunk and they'll try to, you know, take that energy and momentum. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, what do you mean they dunked on the other end? Yeah, because we're already moving on to the next play. So you're seeing a lot of that with the length and the athleticism and Dyson being able to get all these steals and deflections. It just makes that go tenfold.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like, shout out to Dyson Daniels. Like, he's really taking advantage of his opportunity here in Atlanta from Quinn Snyder.
Truly is. For somebody that we didn't know a whole lot about, you know, coming into the season and what his contribution was going to be. We only knew his numbers, you know, from where he had been down in New Orleans. We don't say that doesn't jump off the page and excite you.
That's why I was watching them Team Australia games. I was like, let me see what this dude got going on. He going to be in Paris. And I saw what he had going on, and I said, oh, this is going to be nice.
Yeah.
This is going to be nice next to Trey and everybody else. 6'9", long, defensive.
What is there a positive or negative of Julius Randle not being on that Knicks team now? When you talk about shutting down Brunson.
Positive.
You think so?
I think so. I mean, Big Bodega, I love the new nickname. Big Bodega.
Because
he gave me some really big – because I'm with you, Greg. I've kind of been out on Cat as your number one player.
Me too. I just –
But he showed me something against the Hawks. Like, he was the only one to really give the Hawks some energy. Like, you know, trying to dunk Okampella and Okongwu and really, really get the crowd and the team galvanized. And he couldn't get the rest of them
– Right.
I mean, Josh Hart was doing his thing too. But, like, as a whole, he couldn't get the rest of them to go with him. But, like, as far as, like, trying to be opposing – with
relying
all the offensive things that he did. Like, I thought he did a really good job against the Hawks. But I agree with you. I've always been kind of out on Cat as your number one guy. Like,
right.
I thought Ant coming in there and becoming a number one and making Cat a two was a really great recipe. And then they decided to blow that up. And now that looks crazy in Minnesota. So I don't know. But the Big Bodega, no matter how far New York goes, I think he works in New York. I think that part is working.
Okay.
Love he has a lot of confidence under the big lights up there in the garden.
Yeah.
Love bringing you in on this stuff here. We're not done talking Hawks. We'll get Terrell Thomas. These Urban Times coming up later on in the show. Also, remember, Rick Limpert is going to be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. If you're still trying to figure out what to do as far as a holiday gift, that person that you're just not sure how to buy a present for, Rick might just part the clouds.
He might have something for you.
There you go. That'll be coming up at 7:20. Anyway, it is Sam and Greg. We'll figure out a time to get our stories of the weekend here. Up next, got to talk about some college football, Army, Navy. Do a little salute there and put your hand over your heart there, Ms. Crenshaw.
Okay.
It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. She's doing it. 92.9 The Game. And you just messed me up, Noel. Take us with you on the Odyssey app.
Anchors away, my friend.
I don't know the words of this, but it's... makes you want to stand up and put your hand over your heart there, right? Anchors away. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. On this day after, Navy gets the win yesterday in the Army-Navy game, so their song gets played.
Absolutely.
It's one of those bucket lists. Have you thought about that? You put that in your bucket list location? Places you want to go to?
You want to go and see that, and I have not had a chance to go and witness that incredible event. And of all the rivalries in sport, it is the greatest when you think about it as far as football matchups. And there's no national championship on the line. There are no guys about to get drafted to go to the NFL. This is a totally different level. But so important because we know what these young men have made the commitment to do,
right.
And that they're out there playing
and women
and the fact that they're good. You know what I mean? There've been years past where it's been like, you know, 1-9 and you know, 0-10
19th ranked.
And you know, they're actually really, really good teams who went out there and played. They've had tremendous seasons. So it was historic in that manner that both come in having been nationally ranked during the time of the season. But Navy comes out on top yesterday.
31-13 was the final. I gave it some love, watched it for a little bit. You know, it's one of those games, it's want to.
Yeah.
it's rebound.
Well, yeah.
If you have no connection to the armed forces and this game, just and me, I of course was watching. His first time, Pops didn't get a chance to really. You know,
yep.
He's not with us, and he was obviously in the Army, and so I spent some time watching it, and kind of was waiting for Navy to show me something, and they did.
Yeah,
they really did.
But I think to me, the game was also a nice way, a very symbolic way to wrap up a week of that. Even though you know the rest of the teams, you know now know their assignments for the playoffs, there were still some things off the field that happened, and
right.
You know you're talking about one. Was in, you know, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, but the other to me is in Huntington, West Virginia. But let's talk a bit about Chapel Hill and what we think's going
to
happen with
it. All right. Well, let's, and again, not just to put a cap on it, it was the pomp and circumstance that goes with the Army-Navy game.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just say that's worth the price of admission for me.
Yeah. Well,
Dukes
and Bell get to be up there Friday, right? They're up there Friday, and they're right. Broadcasting from up there, and they're getting a chance to talk with people. And they actually met with Miss USA, who is was a first lieutenant. She's
really?
Yeah. She's a first lieutenant.
Okay.
You know, but she was, and so she was there. And so, I mean, of course, Friday they're somewhere, they're going to be good-looking women, right? I mean.
wait a minute now. No, that ain't.
How do it know with them, right?
But they were clothed.
Dukes
I bet
Bell,
you that
right?
First lieutenant was clothed.
Yeah.
Okay, so it ain't like your usual spots. Right, so don't confuse them.
Well, I'm just saying. They just
and
always,
there was nobody named Bambi. That
always happens with them, right? Okay, that's all right. That's okay. But they're up there Friday too.
It was one of those things that, and I'm just saying it out loud. When you're a kid, you kind of make fun of that. You don't appreciate what you're watching. Oh, look at them guys doing what they're doing push-ups.
No,
and then as you get older,
yeah,
you have an appreciation
you know,
for
you
what
know
you're watching.
You know what I appreciated more so? The last time they were here, Army was here and then played, you know, they played Georgia State several times in recent years. And the thing that struck me was when they got off the bus, where most teams got off the bus, they got on their warm-ups or something when the school colors, mm-hmm. they had on fatigues.
Okay, makes sense.
They come to work.
It
was just a whole different look, right?
Mm-hmm.
And me being on the sidelines, it was a real treat at the end of the game because, you know, at the end of games now, Georgia State, the band will play Georgia On My Mind, and the Georgia State team will go over in front of the band and say, wait a minute, the Army players filled in around them. And then afterwards, their band played the Army alma mater and the Georgia State players. That's something you've watched a lot. We talk once again. College football tradition.
Traditions. And that was going to stay.
And as traditions vanish,
right.
It was cool to be a part of that tradition here in Atlanta.
Right.
You know, and the guys at Georgia State, you know, it was something new and different for them to be a part of that and take part in that. So, the tradition of it all, to be around it and see it and observe it and feel it, that's what makes it so special.
Yeah, and then you talk about showing up in fatigues, and it unfortunately reminds you of that 80s Miami team.
Yeah,
the Canes when you know.
Well, nah, this is a whole
all them dudes
deal.
When they got off and started
they
crazy.
Were getting off. They were doing something different.
This
is we know what's coming up for these guys when they get off the bus.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9 TheGame.com. All right, pretty significant announcement made this week. Pretty significant hire, and it was one of those that I don't know what it's going to look like, but it not only changed the trajectory of the ACC. Well, would you say trajectory?
Potentially.
Yeah.
It's going to make people sit up and watch. People are going to sit up and watch the difference. They know a bunch of money is being thrown at it. They're going to get in the transfer portal and who they got at the top of it. You know, you figure you run out Mack Brown, you know, who's, 72?
Mm-hmm.
And, 73, and you hire somebody that's 72.
Who's the same age. They got to change the nameplate.
The same age, right? You
right.
know, I mean, but – And the game plan has to be, what does he do, you know, 2-3 years to set things up in a certain direction. That's kind of what I think they really want him to do. There's no excuse for North Carolina to not be in the top half of the ACC. Don't say you can't not winning it, but they ought to be in the top half of it.
Because we've already seen it.
And they were at the bottom of it. Mack Brown's, and I was in North Carolina during his first tenure.
Right.
And they were really good, but they weren't going to get over the hump. They couldn't get over the hump against Florida State. there were teams that they would go in off when they would play Florida State, the offense would shut down. Just Florida State just had some dogs on defense that would just shut North Carolina down. Plus, Mack Brown knew he wasn't going to get any more commitment for football because Dean Smith was still coaching basketball.
Yeah.
Once again, it's like Bear Bryant.
Years are you talking about? We're talking the 90s.
Okay. When Mack was up there and North Carolina really did ascend to the top of the ACC. They were beating everybody. They couldn't get past Florida State.
I just can remember when he left there and went over to
went out to Texas, and he won a national championship in Texas. He was at a place where people committed to football first. But up there, he was never going to get that kind of commitment with Dean Smith still coaching. That just wasn't going to happen in North Carolina. And so it's kind of like Bear Bryant at Kentucky. Bear Bryant knew he was only going to go so far with Rupp coaching basketball, right?
Right.
And that's when he split. So, I mean, that's kind of what happened with Mac the first time there. But now you got somebody in, and they see the importance of that and the relevance as far as the conference goes. You know, they're going to have to get out and recruit and get kids from around the country to come to North Carolina.
I was trying to think of the last time that happened where you had a football program at the top and a basketball program at the top. And the only –
Florida.
Sure, that's right. Oh, was it 07 with Yannick Noah? I always want to call him his daddy.
Yeah. Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
And
Joakim, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
They won and doing the back to back thing.
And Hartford. And Horford.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I tell you who he looks like. He reminds me. I've told him to his face who he reminds me of him. Rick Caffey. Al Horford reminds me of Rick Caffey. I say he looks exactly like him, but every time I see Al Horford and think of Rick Caffey, and I told Rick Caffey this, and he just smiled.
It's a name that comes
to mind. Yeah, I mean, this is the worst people.
But what do you think happens with Belichick? You know, he doesn't have the vitality to go out and do all this recruiting.
He doesn't have to, because what we've done right now is we've watched the landscape it's like the Harry Potter staircase, all right, staircases. And so what we know now is happening in college football. These programs are hiring, these universities are hiring general managers because of the money. All the NIL stuff, you don't expect the coach to do that. Not all of them, but they're moving in that direction. Plus, we have heard the speculation about what might happen in 3, 4, 5 years down the road that his son is going to be in place to take over. So basically what he's doing is paving the runway for the future. But I don't know. But what I do know, I don't know what it's going to look like, but what I do know is one of the things that should be discussed in that first meeting of acquisition players is that this dude down the street in South Carolina, he not going into the transfer portal. So let's take advantage of Dabo Sweeney and Clemson not participating in something that the rest of us are participating in.
Yep.
And how long will that last?
Well, we got to see as far as the conference goes. Miami had a better season. You know, Florida State fell off the map. I mean, they hired Malzahn to come in and be the OC and try to energize things there. But that conference Virginia Tech should have been a certain event. They've fallen off the map. They're not a factor at all. And that's why I'm saying NC State had a disappointing season. People were looking for those teams to really come in and give ACC a chance to have several teams in this playoff. Right. And that didn't happen. SMU has come in as a newbie, has come in and has taken over the top. We want to see what steps Georgia Tech makes.
I was just going to say, what's going on with Brinkley and the boys?
That's the next step for them is to play their way into the top half of this conference. Mm-hmm. And that is where North Carolina should be. And that's where they haven't been. They've just been right in the middle, two steps forward, two steps back. They'll have a good win against somebody, and they go lose to Boston College. You know what I mean? So
we might see another Florida situation happening where they got both of them playing. But, I mean, but purposes of football, because of the money coming in from different avenues. We didn't know how much money was out there in BYU until when it was the number one draft pick. What's dude's name who announced this past week?
The number one basketball.
Yeah, going out to during the conversation, they literally said, we didn't know there were that many millionaires out there in Utah. Well, that's a pretty big state.
Yeah.
You know, and they got some folks out there with money. This is going to be the eyebrow-raising thing moving forward, where there are going to be people spending money to get these players in locations that you didn't think.
Yeah.
Moreover, the ones who don't want to go to the traditional places. We remember that meeting a few years ago where Nick Saban was in there begging for money. He was saying this a few years ago. Listen, y'all, you know, you want me to compete with all these others, y'all got to step up. And I don't know if that's happened, at least as far as in Tuscaloosa.
Yep.
And given what happened this past year, are you quick to throw money at that program if you got deep pockets? I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. And the other thing about what is happening next around the corner is, you know, this was an election year, so things start changing in 2025, right? So there's a lot of things into this blender. We don't know what the drink is going to pour out, look like, and taste like, but it's going to be interesting to see.
And then there's Marshall.
Yeah.
You know, with everything that takes place, does it set a precedent that we will see again? Marshall, and I'm still trying to figure out why their coach, you know, would leave. And I had a chance to go up to Marshall with Georgia State this year. I sent you the picture of the fried bologna slider.
You did do that. Thank you for that.
That was very nice in Huntington, West Virginia. They had I'd never been up there before. Charles Huff doing a great job up there. They finished at 10-3. They won the Sun Belt title, and he walks out the door to go to a team at the bottom of the Sun Belt Conference. Here's a man who's been a part of Nick Saban's tree. He's set for another season there to go maybe to a power conference, and he goes to Southern Miss. I don't know what was said. Mm-hmm. It sounds almost like what we saw up the road here at Kennesaw State.
Kennesaw State, almost, right.
Somebody said something, and somebody couldn't get things back on the same page, and all of a sudden this guy splits. He leaves. They're destined to go to a bowl game. 36 of those players hit the transfer portal. 36 players.
Marshall has hit the transfer.
Marshall has dropped out of the bowl game. They're not going to go.
Right. Yep. That was announced.
What kind of signal does that send to players? If something goes on, if your coach gets run and whatnot, you're not pleased about it. 36 guys hit the transfer portal, Greg. They're going to call Louisiana Tech in to play this bowl
game against
Army. They're going to call them in to play this bowl game, and they're 5-7. They have a winning record, but, I mean, they're convenient because they're in Ruston, Louisiana, and they play the game in Shreveport. We ain't got to fly you in.
Y'all got to fill up the bus.
Right.
We'll pay for the gas.
Yeah, we get your bus fare down
there. Stop at Bucky's on the way over.
but it's amazing, though. Will we see that again, though, Greg? Will we see that again?
I don't know. But when you said that and you brought that story up, I got a bit of a heavy heart. Because for me, when you mention Marshall, I just think of one person. And we got the news this past week that we knew he was dealing with something.
Yeah.
Randy Moss came out and said that it was pancreatic cancer.
And liver.
Between his pancreas and liver.
Yeah.
God bless that man.
Absolutely.
And you talk about, we talk about coaches who don't go and sit in living rooms. And I don't know how much recruiting Randy Moss does for Marshall, but I would imagine it's some. If not a significant connection with that, because that's the person you think of.
Yeah.
With that program. Anyway, God bless him, and we hope that the news maybe turns something positive. But that came out this week when you mentioned Marshall. All right, we're moving into the 7 o'clock hour. As always,
we had a little game in town here yesterday.
You gonna just tease with that?
No, we just had a little game here in town yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't a little game.
It was a pretty good game.
We're
gonna talk about that coming up here. Rick Limpert gonna let you know about some holiday ideas. If you're still sort of scratching your head and say, what do I get for so and so and such? Well, he might, just like I said, part the clouds. There's money flying through the air. We'll let you know about some job opportunities, holiday money, and also big event happened in this city. Having to do with the film industry on this day. We're gonna talk about that. Anyway, Sam and Greg, on this 15th day of December. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.